Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Greetings, War Room World. Welcome back to your favorite roundtable. Let's go. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports, the company that's revolutionizing the revolution in sports media. I'm Devin McMillan, and seated around the roundtable with me this evening is Jimmy Williams and B. Austin. Akil Bayon and Paul Johnson will pull their chairs up to the table in a few. We're actually having some technical difficulties, so right now I'll be flying this thing a little bit solo. So we got a great show for you. We'll be talking NBA playoffs, the tragedy at the Boston Marathon, and we'll hand out our NBA awards and a lot more. But midway through this hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandra Podiatry Associates about Kobe Bryant's Achilles and his future in the NBA. So join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or you can join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to join the conversation. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Before we get to the rundown, we got to shout out the team. Make sure you catch Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out the simulcast of Brandon and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at ueradiolive.com. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch all of our partner shows at warroomsports.blogspot.com. In addition to that, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newvibradio.com at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. But right now, y'all know what time it is. It's time for those birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
Fellas, what's going on?
What's up, brother? How's my time, yo?
Oh, damn, you're terrible.
All right, I'll put
B. Austin, what's going on, bro?
Yo, man, I'm running. I just got
You sound terrible, too. All right, so I guess it's just me flying right now until everybody get their stuff together. Birthdays, of course, are brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on the DirecTV logo and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV.
My birthday, yay!
All right, the first birthday is one Mr. Jose Miguel Cabrera Torres, a.k.a. Miguel Cabrera, turns 30 today.
My birthday, yay!
When I think of Miguel Cabrera now, like when I used to think about him, I used to think of course, you know, the problems that he had off of the baseball field, the drinking problems, the drug problems, et cetera. Now when I think of Miguel Cabrera, I mean, what can you think of besides last year's Triple Crown in Major League Baseball? I mean, it was a great feat that we hadn't seen in a lot of years. Matter of fact, I haven't seen it in my whole lifetime. And, you know, he was able to pull that one off. So shout out to Miguel Cabrera on his birthday. Our next birthday is one Mr. Derek DeJuan Brooks. Derek Brooks turns 40
today.
My
birthday, yay!
When I think of Derek Brooks, I think of that little mini rivalry that my Philadelphia Eagles used to have with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They broke our hearts in that NFC championship game after we had owned them for so many games prior to that. But Derek Brooks was the leader of that great Tampa 2 defense. You know, it was him along with Warren Sapp, Rondé Barber. I don't know. It was just a great team. Great thing. Derek Brooks as a middle linebacker, B. Austin. Like, we had this discussion recently, as a matter of fact, because a lot of people kind of forget about Derek Brooks when they think about middle linebackers, but he was all around great at the position.
He's the second best middle linebacker that I have ever seen play. I'm not saying he's the second best of all time, but he's the second. But behind Ray Lewis, I put Derek Brooks because of all of the responsibility he was asked to handle that particular defense. When you're running in that Tampa 2 that Dungy created at the middle linebacker, you're really a hybrid between a linebacker and a safety, because in pass situations you have to drop so deep and play the middle of that field. So he was a tremendous athlete,
And Mike is tripping again as well, man. I don't know what's going on tonight. I don't even know if I sound like that or not, because there's nobody to let me know. But our next birthday is one Mr. James Michael Eisenreich, a.k.a. Jim Eisenreich. He turns 54 today. And when I think of Jim Eisenreich, you know, I think of my favorite Phillies team, that 93 team. I don't know. They were kind of like the bad boys of baseball. They were kind of like the Flyers, the Broad Street Bullies, if you will. They weren't as clean cut as the 08 team that won it. And it's crazy in a city like Philadelphia, blue collar city, how the team that came up short in some circles seemed to be loved more than the team that actually won it, just because they fit the mold of the city. And, you know, I just think about that bunch of rowdy dudes when I think of Jim Eisenreich. Our next birthday is one Mr. Nate Tiny Archibald, who turned 65 today.
My birthday.
Yay! Nate Archibald, interesting. For a long time, before there was an Isaiah Thomas, before there was an Allen Iverson, you know, he was like the greatest little guy to ever play in the NBA. I mean, he's still in that arguable bunch. I guess it's kind of like the last thing you see is where you kind of lean towards, because, you know, I think what Allen Iverson was able to do at his size in the NBA, you know, is something that I saw up close and personal. I didn't really get to see Tiny play, but I heard he was a beast under 6 foot. But, you know, if we're talking about that category, I think I have to go with AI as the greatest under 6 foot player in NBA history. Don't be fooled by what they list him as, 6 foot, 6'1". Allen Iverson was 5'10", 5'11", with stilettos on. Hopefully he didn't wear stilettos, but, you know. So those are the birthdays. I'm going to let everybody know what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. And, of course, On the Grind is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Well, we already passed tax time, so, you know, if you need any other financial services, make sure you go to our website, worldroomsports.com. Click on the Bay Financial Services logo on our sponsors page. Make sure you call those guys and get your money right. The tragedy at the Boston Marathon that happened earlier this week, I really wanted to get my co-hosts and their opinions on this, but, you know, like I said, we're having technical difficulties right now, so hopefully you all can bear with us. But that was It was surprising. I mean, you know how things go in this country when every time something happens, the first thing we think of is, you know, this was done intentionally. This was terrorism. So, you know, you heard that two explosions went off at the Boston Marathon, and I'm pretty sure everybody within earshot of that got nervous because, you know, face it, you know, with the recent history of America and, you know, the type of things that go on, that doesn't surprise anybody. That's the first thing we think of. So when I heard it, you know, I was like, oh, no, here we go again. But just, you know, all week we've just been giving our shouts and prayers and condolences to the people of Boston, to the people who were affected, you know, of course, to the families of the people who actually lost their lives, and everybody who was injured in those blasts. You know, we hope everybody can make a full and speedy recovery. They have some suspects that they caught on video. So, you know, it looks like everybody's the investigative work is paying off. They have a few people they think may be responsible for this. So, you know, we'll see if those people are brought to justice. And hopefully we don't, you know, I'm pretty sure all of you guys out there are tired of hearing of things like this. I know I am. But let's get into something else that's not as sad. Kyrie Irving. He skipped a fan appreciation event after the Cleveland Cavaliers' last home game the other day. Now, we posted this question on our Facebook page. Jimmy, you there? No, it's no better. How do I sound when you're coming in?
I'm a little crazy. Also, I was trying to listen to the computer, and the sound went out.
I can't hear you, dog. I don't know what that was, but I couldn't hear the brother. So the situation in Cleveland was Kyrie Irving and the Cleveland Cavaliers were playing the Miami Heat, you know, the superstarless Heat, because everyone was basically sitting. They lost the game. Kyrie Irving, they were scheduled to do like a jersey drop and give their shoes away to the Cleveland fans for fan appreciation night. And Kyrie Irving, after the game, bolted straight to the locker room. Now, the team actually tried to cover for him and say that he went to the locker room to see the trainers because he had a heel injury, and he actually had a kind of a weird exchange with one of the team officials because they tried to cover for him. He was like, you know, basically saying, what am I, injured now? I didn't notice, you know, maybe I should have known if I was injured. But, of course, the next day, once he came to his senses, he sent an apology to all the Cavs fans over Twitter. That tweet said, quote, I want to personally apologize to all the Cavs fans for my actions yesterday. It was truly unfair to you guys. I'm very appreciative for all of you guys. Your love and passion for the organization and city is what pushes me to be great. I look at it as, you know, because I like Kyrie Irving, and the responses that I've seen about this situation, you know, it's no big deal, stuff like that. But that's the kind of answers you get when people like a player. You know, let a player like somebody polarizing like Kobe Bryant or LeBron James or somebody like that try to pull something like this. And I doubt the sentiment will be the same. I mean, both of those guys have, like, their detractors and they have their staunch followers. So it'll be a two-sided debate where people are trying to defend them and people are trying to tear them down for doing it. So just because I like Kyrie, I'm not going to say it's no big deal, you know, because when it's time to say the right things, all these NBA players sit around and say, we do this for the fans. If it wasn't for the fans, there'd be no us and this and that. You know, and you actually get an opportunity to at least look like you mean those things, and you skip out on an event, you know, for the last home game of the season for some people who paid their hard-earned money to come out and see you guys every night, even though the Cleveland Cavaliers absolutely stink. So, you know, I'm not going to make too much of a big deal out of it, but at the same time, it was definitely a moment of I don't know, it was just a moment of immaturity for Kyrie Irving. Most players go through that no matter how mature you seem to be. I mean, he's only like 20 years old, so these type of things happen. So I'm not going to hold him, you know. Like I said, I'm not going to make too much of a big deal out of it, but it was something. You know, you can't just sweep it under the rug and act like it never happened. While you guys were on the grind, Lance Berkman, he basically took a verbal feces on Wrigley Field. This was the quote from Texas Rangers designated hitter, Lance Berkman. Of course, he's a longtime Houston Astro, so he had a lot of experience playing in Wrigley Field. He says, quote, "It's one of the worst places in baseball for, well, just about anything. I really don't like it. I read where they got approval for some more upgrades. Count me in the group of people extremely happy to see that. I guess I'm spoiled." Then he said, yeah, there's a tremendous history associated with it, and there's something special about playing on the same field that guys like Babe Ruth did. But really, what kind of history is there? It's not like there's been one championship after another. It's mainly been a place for people to go and drink beer. So my thoughts on this whole situation, I've been to Wrigley Field, and, you know, just like a lot of other famous stadiums and arenas around the country, you know, that I've been to, Madison Square Garden, Fenway Park, you know, places of that nature, I completely agree with the sentiments of one Lance Berkman. When you're at Wrigley Field, you know, growing up a sports fan, you do get this sense of history. You know, when you're there, you think you're somewhere special because that's how they build it up to be. But aesthetically, the park is a dump. It's like, it seems like an old Negro League park or something. There's pillars, you know, there's obstructed view seating. It's just, it's weird. And I definitely agree with what Lance Berkman said. I don't know. There's nothing much more that I can say about that. Besides, I agree. You know, I'm not trying to disrespect the Cubs or the Cubs fans or Chicago or Wrigley Field in general, but some of these places, though they kind of need to be, they definitely need to be renovated in some kind of way. So with that, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're in the War Room.
Yeah. Too many Indians and no cheese. I pull out the pistol when I blow peace. I'm the blueprint. I had your clothes looking like they was designed by bullet holes and shoe prints. When I bless a joint, it's like Spock came up in the spot and grabbed the beat by the pressure point. I got the Vulcan touch. I tell my bitch I'ma give up drinking when she give her emotions up. Too many enemies and no killers. Too many that hate snitching but no squillers. I get stacked. I blam hard with the click clack. Get that Antarctica rich rap. I spit crack to guard niggas to get dope. Y'all gotta wait for the transporter to get back. So who's the illest? What you talking about? Die hard like you Bruce Willis when I shoot the killer. Too many hood guys, not enough good guys. The way you say pussy in plural is pussy. I don't be fucking around on that microphone. When I'm kicking them flows on that microphone, like the illest nigga that's holding that microphone. I put my heart and my soul in that microphone. I put it down on that microphone. Turn up the motherfucking sound on that microphone. But turn it down if you weak on that microphone. Lame niggas shouldn't speak on that microphone. My ultrasound show me holding a microphone. That's on my mama, I was born with a microphone. Groupies love cook it on a microphone. Like James Brown, I'ma die on a microphone. Too many rappers need to leave this mic alone. They on the same bullshit that mic was on. You're looking at the unseen, listening to the unheard. I kill your career with one word. You're verbally flirting with murder, you got some nerve. I lift your skirt like a young perv. Knock them out. We the mob, homie, who need a job? Plus I'm so fly, tell Derek Fisher I need a lie. Too many in this industry I need to rob. And if eating niggas made you obese, I'd be the mob. Fuck props, nigga, this a different conquest. Listen to Terry spitting, think it's a pissing contest. I'm in it for power. Cowards try to stop me, they better off using a fishing pole to reel in the Loch Ness. Yeah, I got a barrel that'll spot pussy. If you are what you eat, how come I'm not pussy? You little niggas better come off that microphone. I'm educated, but I'm dumb on that microphone. Don't even bother, you get done on that microphone. I'll turn a father to a son on that microphone. I'm a revolver in a slum on that microphone. And tell us all, I don't need no microphone.
All right, everybody, this is Devin here, back with you. Like I said, we're having a little technical difficulties tonight. I'm not even sure if you guys can hear me. I know that my co-hosts are having a hard time with their equipment here. B. Austin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I am here.
Yeah, so some you sound fine now, but if you start to, you know, do the whole whatever it was doing earlier, then we'll, you know, I'll just mute it for
yeah.
you. And
listeners and audience
there.
Out there, please forgive us. We apologize. It's not really us, but bear with us.
Network. All right, one more story on the grind before we get off of that. There was a story, it was kind of disturbing to me. I don't know how you took it, B. Austin, but there was a story about in Philadelphia and South Jersey of how Nike was basically taking shoes off of the shelves in the little mom-and-pop stores, basically in the hood. You know, I mean, I hear all this stuff about Nike's trying to be a premium brand, so they're taking their shoes off the shelf. There's little mom-and-pop stores in Philly and in, like, Camden, New Jersey, where they actually told them in an email that as of June 30th, you know, we're no longer going to take orders from this account. Like, what do you feel about stuff like that when you hear things like that? Jimmy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, good brother.
Yeah, well,
okay. So what do you feel about that, Austin?
First and foremost, I think that this is a classic example of the quote-unquote disenfranchised getting the shaft and really, really getting the shaft because these are folks that have supported that brand loyally for generations, you might as well say. So it's definitely a shaft there. And then the other thing that I'm thinking is that there's definitely going to be some lawsuits that come of this because – they're just stopping business with folks. I think it's very interesting. I've never really seen anything like this.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a situation where, I don't know, because I saw some of the interviews from the actual proprietors of the mom-and-pop stores, and, you know, they had that sentiment like, you know, we were the ones who built this brand. You know what I'm saying? Like, we built Nike, you know, being in the stores and all the people in these type of neighborhoods, you know, who buy shoes. And I fully agree with what he's saying because we all know damn well what community has the lines wrapped around the corner before stores even open when Jordans come out. So it is kind of a slap in the face for them to, you know, basically tell these people, after, you know, after this date, we're not taking orders from this account anymore.
You know what, though? You know,
here's the thing, though.
Oh, go ahead.
My thing is people need to stop expecting these companies to have loyalty. Nike has 90% of the market. There's no one even close to Nike in terms of their business. And with that being said, this is not going to stop anything. People still will sit in line, you know, and still do what they do to get their Nike.
He's going
to
do it at the mall. You know, scare right people.
Yeah, I mean, Nike is trying to change their image of their brand. Nike is revamping their entire company. In terms of what they're doing, they're becoming more of a technological company. They're putting more technology into their sneakers. They're changing everything they do. They no longer just want to be known as a tennis shoe company. So with that being said, they're going to remove them out of certain stores. The prices of the sneaks are already through the roof, and they'll continue to increase as they continue to invest technology into their sneakers. Like, some of the sneakers they have coming out, from a technology standpoint, are just, like, far superior to anything else. So I don't even think if they stayed in those stores, they will be able to maintain because they're going to stop making the Air Force 1.
They're
going to
stop making the lower lines.
Yeah, they're going to stop making the lower lines anyway. So they're changing their entire business model in terms of how they want to move forward and how they want to continue to grow their brand. So this is bound to happen anyway.
Jimmy, I think you're making a brilliant point because
this
is obviously a calculated move on the part of Nike, and they realize that they can, from a number standpoint, maybe not a public relations standpoint, from a number standpoint, they can afford to miss out on the segment that they're losing now and make up the revenue in the short term with price increase and in the long term by capturing more of another segment. So they're essentially saying from a bottom line standpoint, you people are not worth the dollars that you're actually spending. And so it is one of those things where we have to be objective. We got to step outside of our emotions. I mean, from as a black man, as a black person, I'm like, yo, you're pooping on us. And I feel that. But from a dollars and cents standpoint, they're saying that this isn't a market segment that we want any longer. Step your game
well, actually,
up and be able to afford.
But it's like the point that Jimmy originally brought up. I mean, he didn't, like, go all in on it, but I heard a little bit of this in there, and if this is what you were saying, I definitely agree. First of all, you know, I think people in our – I'm trying to get my words together straight so I don't offend too many people out there, but whatever.
Mumble.
I just think a lot of people in our community, first of all, need to stop giving a lot of these companies who really don't want their business – you know, all of this free advertising. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's been, and I'm not just speaking of Nike here, but there's been people who make brands who come out and say, you know, I really don't want black people or this hip-hop generation to wear my clothes or to drink my champagne, stuff like that. But we still give them this free,
Timberland,
we still give them this free advertisement. You know, we speak of them in songs, we wear their stuff religiously. Stephon Marbury, you know, tried to come out with a line of clothing and a line of shoes that were affordable to people in, you know, low-income areas. $15 shoes, the Starberries. Inexpensive shirts and shorts and stuff like that. But when people do that kind of stuff, it's laughed at. You know,
so you're saying,
I'm not wearing
well,
that cheap stuff.
So you're saying,
like, that kind
Shaq
of stuff
is perfect.
Shaq tried it. Hakeem Olajuwon tried it. Right. It just doesn't work because the thing is, the more they act like this, the more people actually want them. The more exclusive
right.
they become, the more they want them. You know, it's
this
the supply
is,
and demand.
You're saying,
thing.
Dev, this is a perfect opportunity for economic social activism from the people that are getting the shaft. And, Jimmy, what you're saying is it's not going to happen because those people's
nope.
priorities are so screwed up that
it's
they're actually going
brother.
To pursue,
Listen,
pursue
man,
them more.
This is the problem because at the end of the day, I personally, you know, don't wear Nikes. I think Michael Jordan killed babies. That's another story. But I personally don't wear Nikes. And I'm a fan of New Balance, but it is what it is. But at the end of the day, people want these things because they kind of, you know, it's exclusive. The more exclusive, the more they
Yeah, I can't.
Now, this is why now Nike, like, oh, some of the recent Nikes that they released, they only released a certain
Your mic is doing that funny thing again. We can't understand nothing you're saying right now.
Okay.
And Jonah's like, B. Austin, what are you sounding like?
I'm here. What do I sound like?
Yeah, same thing. Same thing. Ah, man. I mean, they're even telling us right now that it's a site-wide outage. Talking about rescheduling shows for 7 p.m. or later. It's good for us to know that after we're already 30 minutes in, but whatever. All right, so, yeah, that's the situation going on with Nike. And the little mom and pop stores. we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see if anybody makes enough noise to either change things, or even if nobody changes anything, let's see if anybody, you know, steps up to the plate. You know, because I've heard the word boycott. I've heard a few things along those lines in the last few days. Let's see if anybody's really going to do that. So before we get our guests on the line, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Monique Rowe from Alexandria Podiatry Associates.
Testing, testing.
Yeah, what's up? I'm on.
Okay. All right, so this is getting a little irritating here. Let's see. We're going to go to the phone lines because we have a guest in queue. She's been on the show before. She is Dr. Monique Roll from Alexandria Podiatry Associates. We all know about the tragic injury that happened to Kobe Bryant on Friday. The Los Angeles Lakers basically saw their season flash right before their eyes, but the team was able to, you know, stick it out and win the games that they needed to get into the playoff run. But we're going to bring Dr. Monique on just to answer a few questions that we all had about Achilles injuries and what Kobe Bryant's future in the NBA may be. So without further ado, we'd like to welcome back into the War Room for the second time, Dr. Monique Roll. Are you there, Doc? Can you hear us? Hello? Can you hear us? Okay. Maybe we won't be having a good Doc on. Be awesome.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Roll, you there?
Yep. Dr. Roll.
Paging Dr. Roll.
Stat.
Paging
Dr.
Roll.
The emergency broadcast booth, stat.
No, it's a lot of issues, yo. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, it's a lot of issues because even trying to listen from the internet is, like, not coming through. So I'm not sure, you know, what's going on right now. But, you know, let's proceed, I guess.
All right, well, until the good doctor can hear us, you know, we'll just discuss Kobe on our own. Jimmy, being a Lakers fan, like, what did you feel when you saw Kobe Bryant go down off a basically routine move?
I felt like I got up in the morning and tried to leave the house, and I got in my car, and someone stole my radio. It was like the feeling of being angry and not being able to do nothing about it. It was just very difficult because, I mean, he was playing his heart out. This is arguably one of his best seasons.
Yeah. Statistically, I think it's his best or his second best season ever.
You know, so it was very difficult, like, to watch that. It was like someone punched me in the gut.
Dr. Roll,
you know,
can you hear us? Okay, because she's saying, I'm getting there. She's saying she can hear us, but we can't hear her.
Yeah, we may have to get her in the hang. We may have to get her on Woven Sports TV or something where we do this.
Hello,
TV.
Can you hear me?
Hello, Dr. Monique Roll. We've been trying to get on the line for like 3 minutes.
Oh my God!
I don't know. We're having some crazy technical difficulties, but we are trying.
Yeah,
to,
what's happening?
We were
we
trying
are
to
so
push
hot
through.
As a show that there's a conspiracy against us.
They don't want
and
the news to
cyber
get out.
Terrorists have struck.
Yeah, so we're going to try to push through it. We'll see what happens. If not, you know, we're either going to have you back for the next show or, you know, you can be on one of our webcasts and we can get that equipment up and running. We were talking about Kobe Bryant's injury, and, you know, we wanted to get your professional opinion on the whole thing.
Right.
So we just wanted to start off with some basic questions that people have been asking on our social media page all week. It's not only questions. Everybody's been debating as if they are doctors. So, you know, I did let everyone know that we're going to have a real doctor on, and we'll get the opinion from her. So the first thing, well, B. Austin, you had a question you wanted to ask first? You can go ahead first. Okay. I can't even hear him. Are you still there, Doc?
Well, first, I'll say a couple of things. I mean, first of all, this is a very serious injury, you know, to anyone, whether you're an athlete or just an everyday, you know, person that's a non-professional athlete. So
right. This
is a pretty serious injury. This is something that's obviously going to keep him out for 6 months or longer for the rest of the season. It's a long rehab. It's a major surgery. you know, athlete of his caliber, obviously the surgical repair is what he had done. It's just the treatment of choice for an athlete of that caliber. So, you know, the reason why it happens are several reasons. Usually sometimes there's already a pre-existing pathology of the tendon, meaning there's already some micro tears of the tendon that already existed, so you get a thickening of the tendon. It's not really functioning as well. Either he just had a traumatic injury at that moment, because basketball obviously involves a lot of jumping and planting your foot down. So, you know, that tendon is the strongest flexor in the foot. So that can happen from either a direct blow or jumping, you know, having a foot that's flexed at the time of the injury or flexed in the opposite direction. So there's a lot of reasons why it can happen. Certain medications, not stretching properly, usually happens to people who are untrained, that are what we call weekend warriors, where they just kind of jump out there and start doing activities that their bodies are not used to doing, which obviously is not the case with Kobe's case. But obviously overuse. I mean, he's played a lot of games. He's the highest scorer in the NBA. So, I mean, he's clearly not probably resting as much as he's supposed to. So all of those are reasons why that can happen.
Well, yeah, that's actually what I wanted to ask you, because there has been a lot of speculation that the Lakers may have run their star into the ground. Like you said, he's been playing full games recently and at almost 35 years of age and 17 years in the league. He was averaging 45.7 minutes per game in the month of April alone. You know, it's only 48 minutes in a game. Now, I've heard from another doctor, really, because I had a family member who did this last year. Now, this doctor said that wear and tear, you know, from a lifetime of athletics can cause these type of injuries. And essentially, if they're going to happen, they're going to happen. What do you say about that? Like, can this be blamed, you know, specifically on his workload of late, or can this just be years of playing basketball just come back to get him at 35?
I mean, I would say it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, the primary age group that you see Achilles ruptures in his age group, 35 to, you know, late 50s, early 60s, that's one component. The other component is, yes, he's definitely overworked and highly paid, but overworked. So that's going to happen. He's not resting. But usually, like I said, there's usually a chronic degeneration of an Achilles tendon over time that it can lead to rupture. But the things that he's doing as far as playing a lot of time minutes and not really resting a lot, I'm sure that has a part to play. So, you know, the tendon is made up of two muscles, your gastroc and your soleus, and they come down and insert on the back of your heel, your calcaneus. So it's a very strong muscle tendon type of complex. But over time, if it's not being stretched and strengthened over time, you know, it definitely can lead to rupture. There's also another component that I want to bring up that, you know, I'm not saying this is what's happening, but there's also speculation with a lot of athletes of anabolic steroids, because that can change the structure of the tendon. It adds to a lot of increased collagen, which is a protein, but it can also weaken the tendon and cause other pathology. So that is possible. I don't think that's the case because of what's going on, but possible.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because, you know, I'm a Kobe fan for the most part. I'm not a Lakers fan, so I could really care less about the success of that team. But jokingly, all season, I've been kind of, you know, in jest saying that, you know, Kobe may be on something, because in year 17 and 34 years old, all of a sudden, he, you know,
he's
dunking on five guys again. He's kind of looking like the 21-year-old Kobe. And it kind of came out of nowhere. He wasn't doing that, you know, for the past 4 years or so. You know, he's settling on a lot of jump shots. But now he's going to the rim and dunking on a lot of people. So I've said that in jest all season. It's interesting that you bring that up. So I wonder if that's the case.
So, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on these athletes to perform at this level. I mean, this is their career, their reputation. They're carrying teams that have a long legacy like the Lakers do. So it's possible. I mean, I don't want to be put on record that I said that this is what happened, but it's definitely a possibility. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. So.
All right, well, there was one more issue that a lot of the fans were asking about, and it's the fact that Kobe does wear low-top shoes. Now, is there any correlation, you think, between his footwear and this particular injury?
It's definitely possible. I mean, a lot of basketball shoes tend to be, you know, obviously high-top, come up to around the ankle level. So, yes, improper support with lack of orthotics or inserts in the shoes or, you know, that's definitely a role to play. But I think it's more so the repetitive nature of basketball, the jumping, the running, the changing direction, all of the repetitive
right.
motions of what you do in basketball. But shoe wear is a possibility. A lot of high tops tend to be flat. It's like really a flat type of shoe. It's not really supportive like a running sneaker. So
right.
that's definitely possible that that contributed to it.
Well, you said he probably didn't get enough rest, but he's going to get plenty of rest now because they're calling for 6 to 9 months recovery time. And, you know, other people are saying that this injury could take up to 12 months to fully heal. You agree with that prognosis?
It's right. To be fully 100% back in the game, that's probably about right. But usually with these type of athletes, they're going into physical therapy, you know, a couple days out of the, you know, procedure, probably, you know, more than a week. But they're definitely getting them back into rehab and getting them moving. But with the Achilles tendon type of surgical repair, it also has to heal. So usually they're in a boot or some type of cast for like the first 4 to 6 weeks before they can even start putting full weight on it because it has to heal. The re-rupture is always a looming possibility. And there have been other athletes that have had this injury and have gone back and had spectacular careers. So it's not to say that he's totally finished for the rest of his life, but it's definitely going to be a long time before he's back to the level of performance that he was before the injury.
All right. I kind of understood what you said, but we're having technical difficulties. Again, I don't know if you can hear me. So we're basically probably going to have to do this again. So, yeah, we'll just cut it right here for now, and we'll be in touch with you and because we might have to just record this whole interview over again. But thank you again for joining us, just in case the people out there can hear us signing off. But thank you, Dr. Rowe. Like I said, we'll be in touch because we'll probably do it again just so we can put the interview out as an individual piece. So thanks again for joining us, and we will be in touch, Dr. Rowe.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. All right, that was Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. Everybody, because we are experiencing a site-wide outage right now, some technical difficulties, we're going to go ahead and cut this show short and sign off. We hope we didn't waste too much of your time, but we will be back with you next week. Look for some things during the week because we'll probably do that interview and just put that out as an individual piece. So make sure you're checking around warroomsports.com, facebook.com/warroomsports, and at warroomsports on Twitter. Just look out for some things that we can, some individual things that we put out from this episode so you guys can finally find out some of the stuff that we were saying. But we're going to sign out here. Like I said, thanks for joining us for another episode of The War Room. Shout out to everybody who tried to chat with us in the chat room on Facebook, Twitter, and all the callers who tried to chime in. Special thanks to Dr. Monique Roll. We were going to have Fred Perdue from Heavy in the Games with us today. We won't be able to get to that. So just make sure you tune in next week, same time, same place, for another episode of your favorite show. We'll be all over the NBA playoffs and everything else in the world of sports. Until then, everybody, enjoy your sports week, and we'll see you right back here next time. Be sure to catch our conversations on Facebook and Twitter and our videos on warroomsportstv.com. Until next time, everybody, as usual, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you next week.